So welcome back to hour two of July 12, 2022. And Sage Lewis is leading us today and is about to take us on a very sacred journey.
Thank you, Linda. So we're going to allow yourselves, we're going to journey to a star. So if you're just joining us, we're journeying to a star to find out what you can about that star. Find out if that star has a message for you. Are you related to that star? And if you don't know the star, just ask, does this star have a name? And in any journeying, you might get physical sensations that give you an answer. So you might feel a sensation in your body. You might see an image in your mind's eye. You might hear a word. You might smell something. You might hear a sound. So really engage all of your senses. And this journey is going to be about 10 minutes long. And what I have, the music that I have that I'm going to play for you is called Music of the Spheres. And it's music that when we connect in with kind of otherworldly places, there's actually a sound. And they call it the Music of the Spheres. And so this is, I believe it's 432 hertz specifically to bring you into that place of being able to connect with the matrix. So find a way to get yourselves comfortable or even more comfortable. And the invitation is to journey to a star. Find out what you can about that star. What's the name? Are you related to it? And just be open to what shows up. And I picked this music because of the quote that's on the front of the video. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "In this world of duality, our life constantly shifts between the logical left brain and the creative right brain. In fact, the very structure of our brain keeps us in duality. We cannot transcend our own brain, but we can recondition it to act as one. And the best tool for realizing this purpose is sacred geometry." So it fits in beautifully with what we've been learning in this class as well. So assume the position, get yourselves comfortable. Take a deep breath. Be sure to engage all of the senses and enjoy your journey to a star. Sorry to interrupt your journey, but one little note that seems important. If you don't know how to get to the star, because that can happen too, you're going to put yourself in a spaceship, let yourself go out into a spaceship. You can imagine just going out into the universe knowing that you're tethered to the planet. You can go in a rocket. You can just imagine being near a star. So using your imagination, knowing that you're completely tethered to this body, this planet, and allowing yourself to imagine leaving this space, but knowing you're fully tethered to the planet Earth. invite you to wiggle your fingers and your toes. Take in a deep breath. Allow yourself to come back into this space, into this room, coming back from outer space, from wherever you were, coming back to where you are right now, feeling your body on the chair, maybe even just doing a little heart hug to remember where you are on the planet right now. And as you feel ready, opening your eyes and coming back into the Zoom room, maybe taking a few moments to write a few things down if you haven't already. And I'm going to put that music in the chat also. And we have a thunderstorm that just started during that song, so you might hear some background noise over here. So, Linda, one thing I know from years of working together is that you can take over from here. I'm not going to leave. I'm still going to stay right here, but my body and my spirit are nudging me to hand the torch off to you right now from this point to lead the discussion. And I have time to stick around. So if that's not resonating with you, let me know. But I'm wondering if you feel ready to take over.
I thought I was unmuted. Thank you. Yes, I would love it if you're here, because this is really what I've been wanting to talk to you about. So, Catherine, hi. this is going to be interesting for you.
Hi.
Okay. We just did.
Yeah, I'm at my lunch at work. But I'm happy to be able to pop on for just, you know, a little bit.
Well, this is it. Rather unusual day today, because Sage led us on a journey to a star, and we've been this is all related about what's happening on to highly sensitive people sensing what's going on the planet. And one of the things that Sage brought up that really was very helpful to me was this concept that the evolution of consciousness and the fact that 5% of the people on the planet are in a place where they can be in a state of happiness, and 95% not. And what does it do to, what are all the things that we can do to bring us to a place of happiness? And for me, it's remembering who we are at a whole other level. And that is what this journey was to a star. Because that beautiful 5 minutes, I think, Sage, or 10 minutes that you did with Hank Wesselman, looking at people who are star seeds, people who are highly sensitive and don't necessarily or often feel that this is really not their real home. This was my work for many years. And I don't know, Sage, if I was still doing it when you came into my life, because I stopped it in about, I don't know, sometime in the 90s, because it was making my sister Robin very nervous, which for good reason. Because I was way out there, and I did a lot of channeling from the nine who were channeled by many people on the planet, and said that they were from the star Sirius, here to help in the evolution of mankind. And that's where T-Touch comes from. It's I want to. It's so funny because today I was really thinking of doing this, Sage, and all of you, of sharing something that some of you have heard before. It's been quite a while since I shared this, and it's the experience that I had with channeling something about this being heaven on earth. But what was for me, what was important for that, I want to just read you a moment, because here we are, Atlantis. Actually, I am going to go there. So I was, it was actually 1984, and we were gathered together at Joder Arabian Ranch. Actually, Marnie, were you there? If you could unmute yourself and tell me, I can't remember if you were there. And were you there for the work that we did with measuring brainwave patterns?
I went three times, I'm sure.
Okay, no, I just, if you were there when we did the work with Anna Wise, measuring brainwaves.
Oh, no, that was, no, that was, no.
Okay, so I wasn't sure if there. So we did this work with the Biofeedback Institute of Boulder, Colorado. This has all to do with all of this. And what we, so on the day before we did this the first time, measuring our brainwaves to see what was happening when we actually did the 1 1/4 circles or had it done to us, was an activation in both hemispheres of the brain. And that's what has kept me passionate all these years, because we did that in 84 and 85 and again in 2009. And this T-touch, as Sage mentioned before, has tremendous gifts in it, especially for highly sensitive people. But so before we did that day at the Joder Arabian Ranch, I went up in the morning and I sat on the side of a hill waiting for the sun to come up over the mountains. And when it did, I had my journal there and I was ready to write. I just write what comes to me. And to my absolute surprise, the first words as the sun came up from behind the mountain was, "Oh, Atlantis, speak to me. I know it's time that I can see the past and the future again as one." And this was a great shock to me because I had no interest in Atlantis. But I'm telling you this because you'll see after a bit. So I went on to write this. "I hear the call. I'm ready now. We must all gather, come together again. The pod was scattered, each learning alone. Finally, we've got it. We've come together to clone, to strengthen our oneness, our knowingness too. Our bonds have weakened. We must learn anew who we are, what we promised to do. So awaken, dear friends. Our family is strong. Come together again to strengthen this bond, to renew our promise, to spread the word, to join our voices so they can be heard above the cries of fear and death." And you can imagine when I wrote this, I mean, there were no cries at that point of fear and death. But I knew later when I read this that it was sometime in the future. And that's where we are now. And I went on to write, "It's like kneading bread and adding leaven to expand the knowing that this can be heaven." And I've been getting these messages over and over and over, this message, "This can be heaven." And it has to do with our discussion earlier. And that was this idea of just being sitting on the fence, not being willing to take a stand. And for me, it's like, when we're in heaven, it's when we remember that we are one with divine spirit, with that source within, and that we are all connected. And when we choose not just to to stand alone, to be in our left brain where we're in a place of judgment and not compassion as we are when we're in the right brain, then that's what we think of as hell. When you're alone, you feel left out, you feel alone, you feel out of control. And purgatory is when we sit on the fence. That's what, when we looked at what was the level of that, I think it was like energy-wise, vibration-wise was very low. So this today, Sage, is really interesting because I want to share what I think is the reason that many of you are here and have kept coming for years and years. And it's the rest of this. I'm going to just read this to you, but I'm going to share it on the screen because when you see it also, I think it's, for some of us, it makes a difference. It's under my poems. Atlantis. We actually had a song made of this by a song and put it to music. And I should bring this up one of these days, shouldn't I? Playing it for you if you were interested. Okay, here we are. I'm going to screen share this. Where did I just put you? Is it here? Yes. Okay, so just a moment. I have to figure out how to, no, I didn't finish the screen share. Okay, share. Okay, so after I got that poem, I wrote this as the early morning sun cast its first rays from behind the rocky mountain ridge across the valley from where I sat. I put my pen to paper and the Atlantis poem flowed unexpectedly from my fingers. It was later on that propitious day when I began the first EEG study of T-Touch with Anna Wise, then director of the Boulder Biofeedback Institute of Colorado. 4 days later, back home in Carmel, California, during a past life regression with Rhea Powers, I found myself standing on a vast aquamarine stage. And I have to tell you how this happened. This Rhea Powers was visiting a friend of mine who was staying with me at the time. And she offered as a house gift to give me a past life regression. And I have had many at that point, and they've been very profound. And I said, oh, thank you. I would really enjoy that. And she said, let's do Atlantis. And I said, No, thank you. Because I've never thought of Atlantis before. And then I thought, that's pretty not very trusting. And so I thanked her and said, okay, I lay down on the floor and I was instantly, like, I closed my eyes and I found myself standing on a vast aquamarine crystal stage. I was part of a large gathering of friends saying goodbye near the end of Atlantis. We were all carrying large crystals programmed with information from Atlantis. We each agreed that at some time in the distant future, when the world was once again at a tipping point, we would find our way back together, each bringing precious gifts. And this is so important. Each person brings special gifts, as you know, from being with us on these Tuesdays. We all have these amazing gifts. My gift would be a special type of simple touch that would remind each person of his or her perfection and oneness with divine spirit and with all that is heaven on earth. Welcome to the gathering of those who promised to make a difference in the world. And that's what I believe we're all doing here together, each in our own way, making a difference in the world. I want to now on to do with this journey, I want to share one more piece about like this journey that we just did. Here it is here. Pull it over. So I was in the Northwest, kind of up where you are, Anna. Off a little farther north off the coast of British Columbia at Orcas Island. And we were doing, I was in a group who were doing underwater music, playing underwater water music to orca whales, and with Jim Nolman. And if you're curious, Jim Nolman was the first one to have an interspecies communication real program, and he did played music to turkeys and orca whales. And so we've been doing this for several nights, and there is music that he has. And Sage, if you remind me, I'll find it because I brought it with me. And when we were on the ship, and when Jim would play the electrical guitar with the sound, I was sitting there. I could see him stop, and the orcas would exactly mimic it. You cannot tell the difference. So we've been doing this for several nights, and one night we went out in kayaks, and one of the Rinpoches, the Tibetan Rinpoches, was with us, and we were out in a full moon night with the clouds were over, and it was absolutely incredible because a pod of orca came along. There were maybe seven or eight of them. And when the moon came out, like when the clouds cleared, we could see them. And one of them like stood straight up above, like they spy hop, and they stand up in the water and look down at us in our kayaks. And then just, thank heaven, just eased down into the water. And then they started fishing and hunting a salmon up against the rocks, and you could hear them. And they were sonaring us, and I could still feel it like an hour and a half later when we were back on shore and I was in my tent. And I walked down to the shore, and one of the orca came right up to the shore and like pushed the water ahead within 10 feet of the shore. It was like some sort of magic. So I went in my tent and I picked up my journal, and it was a very beautiful starry night in spite of the moon. And this is what I wrote. One night I saw a lovely star shining just for me. The brilliance of her twinkling fire was plain for all to see, but loneliness was present there in spite of gentle light, and crystal tears came out of me sitting silently that night. Why are you lonely, lovely star? Have you a story for me? Yes, dearest ones, I'll tell the tale. It's plain enough, you see. You left me here so long ago, just waiting as you ventured forth. Our pact was clear and very dear, that some fine day, oh, who knows when, your mission there will find the end, and you'll come back to fill this lack, this empty space that waits for you so far away. I was surprised. My open eyes filled once again with crystal tears. How come I there? I know not how. I'm not a bird with endless strength, that endless length from here to there. It's not a journey I could dare. The star spoke once again to me. Don't worry now. We have a vow you made so long ago. Your crystal tears will unlock years that hold the secret to clear those fears. You will remember when the time is right, and you will come home some lonely night. I wait here, oh, so patiently, and twinkle brightly so you can see. And I remember faithfully that someday you'll come home to me. And what's so interesting, Sage, bringing this up, this star journey, there's something, if you all are interested, the next time I would like to share with you, and it's about the star Sirius, and it's some wonderful writing about what it's doing there. And this, I mean, what our connection is, rather, and what we're doing here. And it has to do with the Christ energy and the what we're doing here on the planet. And this highly sensitive people that go many, many through states of depression and loneliness. And it was my job until one day I got that, don't call home, can't do this anymore. And so I quit channeling the star Sirius and the beings who are here to help us in the evolution. And that's what Abraham and Esther Hicks, that's Abraham is one of those beings. When it's not a being, it's a collection who are here to help us on the planet. And when we connect with them in this way, as sages had us do today, something really different begins to open up and we begin to remember. So I would just love to hear some feedback of what you got. The first time I ever did this in a group, it was with, I'm going to stop the sharing here. It was with Rupert Sheldrake, who's an amazing scientist, wrote The New Science of Life. And he also wrote, for all of you dog people, he also wrote Dogs Who Know When Their Owners Are Coming Home, who prove that in a scientific way. And actually, he wrote that because of me, because he and his wife, Jill, used to come and stay on our property during the summers. And when he saw how many books I sold for my dog book, and, you know, not so many people read The New Science of Life. There aren't so many scientists out there as there are dog lovers. And that's what made him write that book. And it's been, if you don't know it, please get it for anyone who loves dogs. So, Sage.
This is like the best thing ever. It's so fun. It's so fun. What I wanted to share was linking this idea of highly sensitives with the star beings. And what came up out of that journey that I did with Hank Wesselman 15 years ago and his knowledge as an anthropologist. So there's actually a conscious story of the Dogon people of Africa believing, you know, that the star beings came on the backs of whales and dolphins and came here to help the planet learn how to feel. And so star beings come here and are often people who are sensitive, who are not able to handle violence, who don't want to watch TV. And as Hank was explaining this in the after the journey, and he said, and often star beings will come from double helix stars, stars that have two colors to them. And I'm not going to go into the story of what happened in my experience. I'm happy to do that at a later time. But that piece feels important, that the Dogon people of Africa believe. And this is coming from an anthropologist, you know, that has studied the Dogon people of Africa and spent time in Africa working with them and hearing this story of star beings. And when I shared my journey with Hank after that experience, he looked me in the eye and he said, I've been waiting for you. He said, I have never heard anyone have the experience on the planet. And Linda, you've had that experience too. And many of us may have now have had the experience of riding on the back of a whale or dolphin and coming here and feeling that experience and connecting with the star and feeling that loneliness that I've felt since I was little. Of like, that's home. Even though I'm here, there's something out there. And so it's worth looking up that the source of star beings, the Dogon people of Africa.
And I want to hear all of your stories. I have a whole long story around that that you'll enjoy at some point. So who has comments, thoughts, questions? What did you get?
Well, I'll speak up since it's been quiet, but I just wanted to just share because I came in late and I'll probably have to leave pretty soon since I'm at work.
Is this Catherine?
Saturday was my, yes, hi.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Saturday was my first meeting and I was just so blown away and just so blessed. And I have had such a heart of gratitude. I'm going to get tears. And so I knew today, like, it was going to be hard, but I needed to connect with y'all again, even if it was briefly. And so I'm just listening and I'm just learning and observing trying to, that's about it. I just don't have much to contribute, just gratitude and just thank you. I just feel like a sponge. I want to absorb it all. So,
yeah. Oh, great that you could pop in just at that time. That was really great.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Welcome,
everyone.
Yes. You know, what was also interesting and what was scary to Robin and what really concerned her when I was, because I was doing a lot of channeling in the 80s and 90s, and we already had, you know, a lot of programs going on with dogs and horses. So it had to be in the 80s, in the 90s that she asked me not to do this anymore, because people who are, you know, in really with their church and born agains or very religious would be threatened by this, until I told them about my personal experiences with Jesus and how what a difference that has made to my life. And when he came to me one day, just like standing in front through closed eyes, and said, "You're ready to do my work." And when I started to like cry and say, "Well, who am I?" And then I thought, "What can I do?" And he just said, "Teach forgiveness." And I said, "No, I can do that." And that is so, in because I'm, you know, it's nothing to do with religion. It's an experience that this amazing, and the Christ energy has a connection to the star Sirius. That's something that has been really fascinating to me over the years of doing this. This concept of forgiveness for ourselves, you know, for those around us, it's major. Any thoughts at all that you have?
I'm curious if people would be willing to share how they're feeling right now.
Ava.
Yeah, I feel very moved. First, when I heard Catherine talking, it reminded me of myself when I entered the group. And I felt like I was on a different planet and nothing made sense. And just was Chinese or, you know, foreign language to me. And little by little, you know, you guided me and I feel closer. And that's really, I can see the journey, you know, that I've put on with you since almost a year now. And the 8th of August is going to be a year since my mom passed away and first connected. So that's one thing. And then actually I connected with my dear beloved lover, you know, and friend and love of my life, Jim, who passed away about 5 years ago. And the star, and he was also very hypersensitive, you know. He would have received a 28 out of all the questions, yeah. And much more than I was, especially with animals. He was so close to animals and horses in particular. And I felt so connected to him. I'm here on the balcony and watching the stars, and I put my mat in the balcony, you know, to be really in the sky and in the stars. And I could see, I could feel him like I've never felt him before since he left me. So it was very, very powerful. Thank you.
What a beautiful experience. Thank you for sharing that. Jewel.
How I'm feeling is I did get a name for a star, or maybe two names, and I want to go learn more what that star means and what it's part of the constellation Lyra. So I want to go read about that and see what that tells me, and maybe tells me more about what I need to be doing, if I need to be doing anything different.
So that's exciting for next week. Come back to us. Wow. So it was Lyra. Is that what you thought you got?
L-I-R-A. I don't know if it's pronounced Lyra or Lyra, but it was L-I-R-A.
Or L-I-R-A. Beautiful.
Y-R-A. But there were, it, first I got Theus, and then I got Orpheus. And Orpheus is part of Lyra. But Theus is a word too, so I've got to do some more exploring on that.
Beautiful. We look forward to next week. Cheryl.
Hey, I guess I just wanted to say that a lot of what we've talked about today has resonated with me, just kind of where I'm at right now, as far as this journey that I've been on, and whatever it is that I'm looking for, I'm circling in on it. I think I'm getting close, but a lot of what you, everyone has said, was helpful toward that. I'm trying to decide as I'm talking here how much I want to share, but I did get a name for a star. It was, I can't say it. It's something like Mercurial or Mercurial. Mercurial. Anyway, but then I went beyond that star. I asked if I was related to it. It said no. But then I went way, 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 way far out. Like, there wasn't even almost enough time to get all the way to this other star that was very silver. And when I got there, not surprisingly, there was a giant black horse. And the star was actually located, it was a unicorn on the very end of his horn. And that's as far as I got before it was time to come back. So that was something that I'm a little curious about. Yeah, so a lot of that, and just kind of a journey to figuring out who I am and where I fit into whatever it is that we here and we as a collective world are doing is kind of what's on my mind. So that's also how I feel. And that's all I got.
Well, I'm so thrilled that you were here today, because I think you asked me at one point how it is that I'm, you know, I've been spending so much time with you. And because that's my job, actually, is to support starseeds. And I've been off duty for a long time, but every once in a while, somebody comes along and I know I haven't thought of it from that point of view. But we're all here supporting each other, everybody here in this group. I'm so grateful for you all. And Sage, thank you for bringing this up, because I'm back on track. I'm back on track. I'm going to start talking about this stuff, because it's where T-Touch comes from. And I'm sure you all know we're past the tipping point on the planet. So it gives us an opportunity to really understand, wait a minute, what can each one of us do? Does, in spite of the fact you may be depressed, you may feel really hopeless, but the fact is, in realizing, when you remember we're all one and you recognize you're in that space, you think, wait a minute, what can I do to shift that? as Sage was talking about this consciousness, this Sage, I think for me, this statement that you made about the evolution of consciousness, holy mackerel, this is such an important concept. And know that the fact that we're just talking about this, we're part of the 95% that are interested to make a difference. I mean, the 5%, the 5%.
Yeah.
The 5%.
I was thinking. Yeah.
So when you go into a place of depression, say, okay, man, that's where I am. All right. What's my support? How can I shift this even a little to see the glasses half full? And recognizing that as we shift ourselves, when we remember we're connected to everybody else who's in that state of depression, that makes a difference on the planet. And the fact that you're going way, way, way out there, headed way out there, I am going to give you a book. I've mentioned it before. Man, it's such a different concept than anything for all the years I've been involved in this 30, 40 years ago. And that's Bringers of the Dawn. And what Barbara Marciniak is talking about is, you see, we're just in one universe. There are many universes. And there's, if anybody's, Jewel, didn't you read that book? I thought you were, no, somebody in the class at the time was reading it. I read it 40 years ago and it changed my life, but it's like way up there because it talks about the many different universes and the many different levels that, and that's what Sage is talking about, is not just realizing this is only one part of our life. We have all of these other parts that we can connect with. Very interesting. Hey, Anna.
What I want to say, we're really here with the full moon, the buck moon, which means the idea that the deer's, their antlers have gone to full size, and it's right here now. And when I think of how long I've been singing to the moon, which means I'm connected with our star, the sun. And when I think of how long I've lived on Bainbridge and been able to be involved with everyone who's farming, be at the farmer's market, and just meditating out there in this idea of this amazing just universe that I experience when I'm outside singing to the moon and just experiencing starlight. And all of a sudden I picked up, I've been journaling for a long time, not recently. And I keep thinking, girl, start doing that again. But I picked this up. I wrote it on March 30th, 91 at 12:30 a.m. Goddess, bless me. The sea salt in my green pouch is the sea, the water that is within all beings. Isis of the sea, of the emerging universe, creating, imploding, exploding, giving birth, sustenance, livelihood, cleansing, protecting. Please fulfill me with inner satisfaction, peace, and a sense of my true inner self, especially my creativity, self-worth. Poppy seeds, the seeds of spring gathered in the fall of 1990, hope, acceptance of things that can't be changed. When I think about, I keep picking them up and I haven't read anything. But today, and really when I picked it up, it was right on that page. I just had to laugh at myself. Because I just imagine we are going to heal this beautiful earth. And the vibration of our earthworms are going to give us all health, everyone around the earth. I keep thinking, why do we keep making everyone separate? And enemies. And of course, now the female again, we're like, oh, just get in the closet and sweep a lot. Just like, I'm so happy. I tell everybody, the feminine has this light in a way that we didn't have in 1776. And now here we are with the Pluto returning to the exact place it was. And when I think about the feminine, when I think about this community, and it really brings the energy to me of the beauty of the, you know, entire cosmos. So thank you again. This community has really helped my spirit feel like I can cry, I can laugh at myself. So thanks again.
Thank you for your lovely poem words.
Thank you. Let's get me out of here. Let's see.
Denise, how was that for you?
You know, I have always the other side, and today was a very, very interesting day for me because in the morning, one girl from the seventh grade was a bit dumbish and a little bit crying, and I asked her, what's going on with you? And she means, yes, I see the broken leg from the other student, and I remember my body remember the hurting my broken legs years ago. And it was very interesting. And I sent her the link from the heart hack from you, the 2 minutes video. And she, hey, great, thank you. And I think she would look this night. And I will see what comes around. And later, one other girl from this seventh grade telling me, yes, she has all the time insecurity in herself and don't know what she should believe and so on. And also there are things what I learned here from you about the Higgs, Abraham, and also from Byron Katie, the work. I ask her, what if you don't scary about to being alone? What happened if you're thinking about you don't have this scary to be alone? And it was very, very nice and interesting to see how she was thinking about this. And she means, yeah, it would be go better for me. And I think it's I'm the only person who has all the time with myself in my life and not the others. And I shouldn't look so much to the others, what they think, that I'm lovely and I'm brave and so. And that was the second thing. And then came a student. He makes his finally 6 years ago. And he was in the same age like this girls as I was the teacher of him. And we are knowing us 10 years or so. And guess he is actually molecular biologe.
Really?
Really. And
wow.
He wanted to look into the Stammzellforschung, into the DNA and the cells. And I tell him about the communication between the cells, and was very great. And he was also a boy who was a little bit insecure and so. And it was really funny to see for me what I can do with these young people, because I see it like the butterfly effect. You can get with one wings, with this, what I tell these little girls, you can bring the hurricane or whatever into the world. And that's what I mean. You can send little bits, and these little things coming in great things. And finally, he goes now to Berlin into the Charité and will make there his doctor grade for medicine. And I tell him, hey, we want to work together. And I ask him the Nobel Prize 2021 about the DNA and the touch and so. And he means, oh, yes, we have to look together. And yeah, it was a really, really great day to see the positive finally. And I had really stressful days the last 2 weeks. And it was so nice for my heart and for my soul to see how my students goes into life and going big and remember me and my thinking and my meaning, and they come lovely back to me.
Isn't that exciting, Denise? How incredible. Wow, how inspiring. And look at just from you daring to reach out and tell them this stuff that must seem a little strange at first, and wow.
Yep.
Wonderful. Super. Megan, how about you?
I had a lovely 10 minutes with the journey, Sage. And I don't know why, I was kind of drawn to Arcturus. And I don't know what that is, but I do know one thing, that horses are the dolphins of the earth. Yeah, they're similar beings. And so, you know, I feel very connected in that way. Although I've always loved dolphins, always wanted to swim with them, you know, in reality, but I can do so anytime in my imagination. I am honored to be here. And I don't know, I hope I have gifts to bring to this lovely conclave. And I don't know, I'm a little bit quiet today. But I don't know, when I was resting and going with that wonderful music of the spheres, I don't know. I'm also really drawn to, of course, to the Pleiades. Always have been, but I don't know why Arcturus, and I was sort of getting the vibe of light and music from that. But I'll have to look it up, because I don't know what that means. I didn't come up with nothing came to me that was like other people have with something, you know, totally new. But anyway, so just kind of a little quiet today.
It's beautiful, and it's a start, because that will lead you on your journey. And if you please remind me to make sure next time I'll start with this channeling that I wrote about Arcturus and how it came about. I was leading I used to do every year what we call transformation on the trail. We take a group of people somewhere. And that particular year was out into the desert of Australia. And we were on a full moon night in July, actually. What I wrote, sitting out in the desert in the moonlight in the middle of Australia, I'd taken a group on a camel safari, and we camped out for 6 nights. And what I wrote is that on that spot on the planet, information from Arcturus was planted 25,000 years ago. And that what I was supposed to do was go to Russia, actually, and by Lake Baikal, and activate a point there where there'd been other information implanted, which I did. And I'll share with you what I got from it, because it might inspire you to remember more. Once you start on a journey, it's just fascinating what starts kind of dropping into you. So Pleiades and Arcturus, just look around, Google a little bit and see what you find.
And I have Sirius in my barn. Actually, a radio station, but But the horses. Great.
The horses are listening.
Yes,
super. Harriet, I tend, since I don't see you, to say, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how was that for you?
It was actually very relaxing. It was just, I wasn't drawn to anywhere in particular, but I was just like floating out and enjoying the colors and the freedom and expansion. And the pictures reminded me of, I also think of the artist from 30 or 40 years ago, Gilbert Williams, that anyway, I really liked his metaphysical style of art, and a lot of the film was reminding me of that. At least I think that's his name.
Wonderful. Great. Marnie.
I probably can't answer that, but I do have a little housekeeping at the end before we're finished.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Judy, how about you? How was that for you?
It was very relaxing. I didn't really find a specific star, but I felt like I was like in a galaxy, you know, like when you're going through space and you see all these stars flying by you.
Whoa.
That's what I was seeing, and it wasn't really pinning me down to anything, but it was very relaxing and just felt very peaceful.
Wonderful. Great. Yeah. It's really lovely to have you here with us. Find out what's really behind T-Touch. So, Marnie, your housekeeping.
You had announced the celebration as yeah. being in September. And right. so I was going to post the link. It's October 14th through 17th, I think.
Oh, my God. Thank God. Oh, I'm so happy it's later. I've got so much going on in September.
I think that's the link. It looks a little odd the way it.
Well, can you screen share it? Because I've only seen it once for a short time. It was just the prototype. So I got the month wrong.
I realized I should have set up where I could. I don't think I can. But if you click on the link, it comes to it. And I guess what we need to do is get it where we can screen share it.
Right. Yep. That would be. Oh, look at what Mandy made up. Isn't that adorable? Look at this. Let's yeah. make it big. I want to see it big again. Oh, full screen. I want to see this. View. I can't get to my speaker thing. Oh, because I'm still screen sharing. End the screen share. Or did I? No, I did. Never mind. Okay, can you see? Mandy put that together. It's a virtual online conference, Telling to T-Touch, Celebration, October 14 to 17. And I can't read what's under the 30 plus 35, 10, 12. Can anyone else read it?
It says it's coming. Our first virtual online conference will start October 14th. Early bird registration begins soon. Fill in the form below to be among the first to know and take advantage of big savings. And then you fill out your name and your email and submit.
Exciting. Robin is there. She's so excited about it. And she's got some great lineups. And it's going to be really, really wonderful.
So we'll keep you posted.
Keep you posted. Sage, thank you for this. Incredible. Oh, man. Yes.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Making sure everybody's back before you, back to the planet before you get in your cars or get on the phone or whatever. Just make sure you're back here.
Fold up your rope, your tether that kept you tied.
Right.
And is it full moon tonight, Anna?
It's tomorrow morning.
Not quite. Oh, I was going to say tomorrow.
Yeah,
oh,
well, probably depend on where you're living, too. You know,
right, around, of course.
Yeah, so.
I want to go up on our, we have a raised area you know, like that's at roof level. You go up to go down the slide.
And can we get the link?
Nope, we're not here.
October 17th.
Marnie, did you put that link in for October? Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Yes, it's in the chat. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Sage, brilliant.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Many, many heart hugs and much love. Aloha.
Thank you very much. Thank you to you as well. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, Linda.
Ciao.
Thank you, everybody. Bye. Take care.
Thank you, Sage.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So wonderful. Thank you, Linda. See you next Tuesday.
Okie dokie. Ciao.
Ciao.
Oops. Oh, I have to stop. I have to stop the
Denise, thank you for sharing those stories about youth. I mean,
yes, so amazing. Yeah. Trying to see where I stop the come on. Why can't I stop the recording? Oh, maybe Judy already did. I'll bet she did.
I think it should stop when you go out, I think.
Oh, that's good. Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Linda.